الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم الله سبحانه وتعالى has placed signs that completely surround us. And these signs, they are present everywhere and at every time. For example, if you look around you, you see the trees, the ground, the skies, the sun, the moon, ourselves, we're completely and absolutely surrounded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's signs. We can't even escape, even if we tried. I could escape from the sky, but I can't escape the ground. I can temporarily, you know, levitate myself off the ground, but I can't escape from myself. There is no circumstance in which we are not completely 360 degrees surrounded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's signs. And each of these signs is present constantly. You know, even if you just take the heartbeat and you just think about how many times is the heartbeat in a minute, you have that many signs. And even if you were to dissect one heartbeat and its complexity, all the wiring that is associated with it, all the chemical reactions that are related to it, all the downstream consequences of the blood being pushed by every single beat of the heart, it would just be layers upon layers upon layers of signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the challenge for humanity is one simple challenge, and that is to appreciate and recognize the signs that are continuously surrounding us. Honestly, if a human being can just achieve this one goal and really comes to the conclusion that all of these signs lead to, they'll have achieved success in this world and the next. Because every sign points to a creator, and once a person appreciates their creator and knows that their creator is constantly surrounding them, then essentially they've achieved Islam. So this is the challenge, that we become literate and that we become able to appreciate the infinite signs that are constantly surrounding us. Among these signs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also given some, you can say, extra signs. And these signs were given in particular to the prophets whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent in order for them to be able to establish their message before their people. For example, Musa alayhi salam was given some very unique signs, which none of the previous prophets were given before him. But those signs were meant to establish the veracity of him as a messenger and the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him with a message. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Musa alayhi salam to Fir'aun, Musa alayhi salam is commanded to show him Ayat al-Kubra, the great sign. And the Mufassirin, they mentioned that the Ayat al-Kubra is essentially the fact that his staff could turn into a serpent. Now, if you think about that sign, that's absolutely miraculous. The fact that a staff, which is absolutely wood, can be thrown on the ground and can turn into a large serpent, obviously that's a miracle. And Musa alayhi salam was given this amongst many other miracles. And the purpose of this miracle was that Musa alayhi salam could establish himself in front of the people so that the people would appreciate that he was the messenger of Allah. And therefore, the message that he brought would be verified before the people. So this is one of the very unique signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions in his book. Now, of course, the Quran is constantly commanding us to look at the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're constantly commanded to look at the sun, look at the moon, look at the ground, look at ourselves, look at all of the things that we've been surrounded by. And all of those should lead us to the ultimate conclusion that there is a creator of all of this and that that creator is one. But these additional signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon, for example, Musa alayhi salam, they allow the prophets to establish themselves as messengers from Allah, which then allows for an additional layer of understanding, which is what pleases Allah, what displeases Allah, what happened in the past, what happened with the people who succeeded, what happened with the people who failed. We can't get that information by looking at the sky. I can get the information. I can look at the sky and get the information that there must be a creator and that this creator must be far greater than this creation. And I can come to the conclusion by looking at the by the concordance of the entire universe that there is one grand being that is the Lord of everything and that has created everything. But I can't come to the conclusion what will please him, what will displease him, how can I earn his pleasure, that there's going to be a life in the grave, there's going to be a Jannah, there's going to be a Jahannam. This is the job of the messengers. All of these details, which are essential, they're necessary, for that, for those to be established, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an additional layer of ayat, an additional layer of signs. So for example, Musa alayhi salam comes to his people, his own circumstances will be a sign, but beyond that, Allah gave him the certain miracles which allowed him to establish himself as a messenger, which then allows him to be able to deliver details about other features of the reality of the universe. Now, interestingly, the Prophet ﷺ, he comments on this, these miracles. And he says a few things concerning these miracles, which I think is very worthy for us to reflect on. The first thing that the Prophet ﷺ says is that, and this is a narration in both Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ says that there has not been among the Anbiya, among the prophets, there has not been among the prophets any prophet except that they were sent with something that would cause the people to believe in them. There has not ever been sent a prophet except that the prophet is sent with something that will cause the people to believe in them. So for example, I just mentioned one example, but you can come up with many. Musa alayhi salam, just to keep it simple. Musa alayhi salam was sent with a unique sign, multiple unique signs. Those miracles which he performed, which allowed the people who were looking for truth and who were not blinded by their own pride and arrogance to be able to believe in him. So each prophet who was sent to the people was always given a miracle, and that miracle allowed them to be able to convince the people and cause the people to be attracted to them and cause the people to be able to change their lives and submit to the message that the messengers brought. So this is the general paradigm. Then the Prophet ﷺ continues and he says, what he was given was wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what does this mean? Other messengers were also given wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other prophets were also given wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have to read between the lines a little bit, and the scholars, they explicate this. Essentially, what's being said is that every prophet came with a miracle or miracles. The purpose of those miracles was that people would believe in him, would change their lives, and submit to that message. With each prophet, the miracle ceased to exist when the prophet ceased to be present. For example, Musa alayhi salam had a staff that could turn into a snake. Musa alayhi salam separated a body of water which allowed the Bani Israel to be saved from the people of Egypt, etc., etc. There's numerous miracles. But the unique thing about these miracles was that they were for a particular time and a particular place. Each of the prophets brought these miracles, but it was restricted. It was meant for a certain time and a certain place. Now, of course, the people that came after them would relate the circumstance, but none of them had seen it. For example, we all believe in the serpent, the staff turning into a serpent. Why? Because it's in the Quran. So we all believe in it. We're all certain of it, but none of us saw it. So each of the miracles that the prophets brought, they ceased to exist when the prophet moved on from this world. Then the Prophet ﷺ says, an eye was given, the wahi from Allah. Now what does this mean? Other prophets were also given wahi from Allah. What this means is that the miracle, the greatest miracle of the Prophet ﷺ was that he was given the Qur'an. And the unique feature of the Qur'an as opposed to the miracles of the previous prophets was that the Qur'an is preserved and it's the miracle is present with us until this day. So this is a key distinguishing factor between what was given to the previous prophets and what was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is something that all of us need to appreciate because it is a very unique feature of our deen. It is a unique feature of our deen. Namely, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved the Qur'an, that it was the greatest miracle of our deen, and that it is available to us today just as it was available to the people who saw it being revealed before them. This is a huge blessing upon us. This is a huge blessing upon us. I mean, how many of us would be so fortunate to see the staff turn into a snake? How many of us would be fortunate enough to see the body of water being separated and the Bani Israel crossing? This is a huge miracle. The fact that we're not able to see these things is because it was limited, but the Qur'an, the miracle of our deen, is present with us all the way until this day. Now then the Prophet ﷺ takes it one step further, and he gives a conclusion, a result, a hope. He actually says, I hope. It's a hope that he has based on the fact that this miracle is preserved. And what is that hope? He hopes that his community will be the greatest in number on the Day of Judgment. That he will have the greatest number of followers on the Day of Judgment. Now he references that back to the fact that his miracle is alive and is present all the way until the end of time. So this goes to show us just how powerful this miracle actually is. Now, of course, we all know that the Quran is a miracle and that one of the features of this miracle is that it's present until this time. But when we think about how it's a miracle, we should ask ourselves, why is it that the Prophet ﷺ is saying that as a consequence of this miracle being present until the end of time, he has hope that he will have more followers than any of the previous communities? And the reason is because the miraculous nature of the Qur'an is inherent to the Qur'an, which basically means that it's present for all of us today just as it was present for the people that came before us. For example, and the scholars go into this lengthy discussion, what does it mean that the Qur'an is a miracle? What is the miraculous nature of the Qur'an? So there's multiple layers. One layer, for example, the Qur'an is inimitable. You cannot copy it. Nothing can be like it. No person could produce anything similar to it. Now, in what way? In many ways. Linguistically, it's unique. In its eloquence, it's unique. In its message, it's unique. In the mechanism by which it presents its rulings and its parables and its history, it's unique. From every dimension, the Qur'an is a miracle from that one perspective. Similarly, another feature, and you can have a long, lengthy conversation about this. We don't want to have that right now. But another feature of the Qur'an is that look at the miraculous nature of the Qur'an and how it's penetrated time and place. Just think about this for a minute. How many How many traditions or ideologies, let's just make it general, how many ideologies can you find that span time, place, culture, and people? You're not going to find any example of that in history. Look at, I mean, if you go, for example, look at communism. Communism comes and goes, and then it's affecting a small subset of people, and often by force. Look at Marxism. Look at the various theories that have existed in history. They all rise and fall, and they're to a particular place, a particular time, a particular people. But look at the Quran. Different languages, different civilizations, different backgrounds, different socioeconomic status, Arabs and non-Arabs, all over every continent, the Quran touches people. It raises people. It elevates people. And then look at the miracle, the miraculous nature of the Quran. It changes the geography of the world in the sense that it changes the borders of empires. It establishes empires. It's brought down empires. And on an individual basis, it causes people to be elevated from their natural animalistic instincts to become true human beings. Where are you going to find such a powerful book? And in fact, this miracle of the Quran is continuously revealing itself to us. A person can engage with the script of the Quran, it has its own miraculous features to it. A person can engage with the language of the Quran, it has its own miraculous nature to it. A person can read the history of what the Quran is detailing, it has its own miraculous features to it. A person can simply just look at the effect that the Quran has had upon human civilization, it has its own miraculous features to it. A person can look at the effect that the Quran has on their own lives, how it uplifts them, the beauty, the eloquence, the power, how it grabs the heart, and how it takes the heart from one place to another. Nothing else does that. Nothing else does that with that degree of continuity and that degree of benefit. This is one of the very, very unique features of the Quran, and this is just one, you know, tip of the iceberg dimension of how this Quran is a miracle. Now, the Prophet ﷺ is telling us, in this narration, that because of the fact that the Quran has been preserved and because of the fact that this is the major miracle of the deen, that he hopes that his community will have the largest number of followers. So what does that mean? It tells us that it's the Quran that's going to be the ultimate expression of this deen. If we want to change, if we want our families to change, if we want our loved ones to change, if we want our communities to change, if we want to bring about any change in the world, it's not going to come about through our words. It's not going to come about through our writings. It's not going to come about through our planning. Yes, all those things are needed. I'm not denying those things. Those are all part of human effort. But it all has to be underpinned by a foundation on the Quran. If I'm going to change my life, It's not going to happen because I go into Barnes & Noble and I start reading self-help books and I spend hours and hours watching YouTube videos or I spend $2,000 and go to a conference on how I can be a better person. Yes, those things have their place. Again, I'm not negating those things. But the underpinning of change, the underpinning of human advancement is always going to come through the Quran. We have a mechanism. We take the time, we take the energy, we give it its proper attention. And by turning to the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate us and allow us to be able to become the best versions of ourselves. And in the same way, if we leave the Quran and we're disconnected from the Quran, we're detached from the Quran, we're not involved with the Quran, then we can expect that we won't be able to achieve the goals that we set out for ourselves. So this is a general theme that all of us need to appreciate. That if we are going to change, if we are going to advance ourselves, if we're going to achieve our goals in deen, it is going to come through a consistent interaction with the Quran. Now, what type of interaction do you have to have? It's individual to everyone. Look, the benefit is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everybody's going to have their own ability. Honestly, there's a subset of people. They are so busy in their lives, just trying to make their ends meet. They're working two jobs, they're trying to manage their families, etc., that aside from their prayers and a few basic requirements, they're not able to do very much, and they might just have a Quran on their bookshelf, and they might just look at that Quran, and they might just think, I wish I could spend time with it. And they might just show it that much respect, and that could be enough to benefit them. Again, because the benefit comes from Allah. So if they're truly sincere and they look at that book and they say, I wish I could understand this book. I wish I could spend time with this book. I wish I could devote myself to this book. But they can't do it, then they'll be rewarded based on their intention. And there's another group of people that have the ability to read everything in the world. They read the New York Times. They're studying the latest this, reading the latest that, understanding complex equation, complex variables and equations, and there's no time given to the Quran. And that person finds themselves in the opposite circumstance, where our own lives will be used against us. That we went and we did A, B, C, and D, and we took all this energy and effort, but when it came to the Quran, it was a substandard engagement. So the engagement of the Quran is not some preset thing. The engagement of the Quran is going to be contingent upon where we find ourselves in our lives. But we need to be very clear about one thing, and that is that if we're looking for a miracle, like I often say in my talks, I don't have a magic wand. If we're looking for a miracle, you really want to bring that magic wand into your life. You really want to be fed a fuel that has time after time proven itself to be able to change people, tribes, families, cultures, societies, the whole world, that's going to be through the Quran. And each of us needs to seriously think about how can we avail ourselves of this miracle? How much time can I spend with it? How can I study it? How can I get to learn it? How can I improve my recitation of it? How can I beautify it? How can I respect it? How can I honor it? How can I let that miracle come into my heart and change me and make me into who I want to become? This is the challenge that all of us need to appreciate, and this is what the Prophet ﷺ is getting at when he says that every single prophet was sent a sign, something that would cause the people to believe in him. And he, the Prophet ﷺ, has been given revelation, yani the Quran. And this Quran, as opposed, now it's not explicitly stated here, but this Quran, as opposed to the previous messengers, this Quran is alive and present and available to anyone who wants to avail themselves of it. And if people do this, the consequence will be that the Prophet ﷺ's hope that he will have the largest number of followers on the Day of Judgment will come to fruition because of the Quran. Because people submit themselves to it and avail themselves of its miraculous nature. So all of us need to think individually, what commitment am I going to make to the Quran? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are able to appreciate the miraculous nature of the book that he's bestowed upon this community. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be able to engage with it, to read it, to study it, to understand it, to practice it, to live by it, and to make it a companion in our lives. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us the example of those people who will be among the numerous people that the Prophet ﷺ hoped would be amongst his followers on the Day of Judgment. وَآخِرَ تَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ